Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money. Making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and I have my co-host on the line, Andrew, my son, Newman.
Afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
I really do enjoy this.
Yeah, well, good. And but you're missing out. We have a blonde bombshell in the booth today. We got Joey G. He's got a new look. You ought to see it.
Trying out something new, Andrew.
He might even look a little like Marilyn Monroe in there.
Well, Joe and I are Facebook friends now, so Joe, just post it on your Facebook.
Yeah, you going to change your Facebook picture, Joe?
I don't know.
All right. Well, it looks pretty good. He looks really Marilyn Monroe-like.
Oh, thank you, Joanne.
You really dyed up that blonde?
You have to see it for yourself.
Maybe next week, Andrew, if you decide to come in.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can. You know, you might be too pretty for me to actually stand next to you,
so. I don't think you have to worry about that. Okay, so we are here every Thursday from 4:30 to 5, and we could love to hear from you. While we're broadcasting live, you can call us. The phone number is
718-497-2128.
Or you can call Pretty Joey G in the booth, and you can email him, and that's info@heritageradionetwork.com, and let us know what you're thinking, or if you have any questions, or if you want to know really what Joey G looks like. Today's show, we're going to talk about the Olympics 2012. At what price? What's the cost of the Olympics? Oh, before we get started, I want you to know that if you can't tune in live, every show is archived on the website, or you can download a free podcast through iTunes. You can follow the Heritage Radio Network and Flash Talks Cash on Twitter and Facebook. How do you like that? So we're
that's
there.
That's a lot of information you're just giving out right there.
Should I say it again? No.
That's a lot of information.
No, I didn't ask you to repeat the question. I said, should I say it again? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Heritage Radio and Flash Talks Cash. All right, so we're talking about the Olympics. You know, the games begin tomorrow night, and that's very exciting.
Wonder.
Very, very exciting. I love the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, Andrew and I went to the Olympics in Atlanta in 1996, and I thought it was very exciting and thrilling.
What do you like better, the summer or the Winter Olympics? Be honest.
I think I like the Summer Olympics better.
Okay.
What do you?
I like the Winter Olympics. Curling is my favorite sport of all time.
Oh, curling. I recall your obsession.
Curling is...
Drew was obsessed with curling as a kid.
Really?
Yes.
There's a bunch of people sweeping ice. How brilliant is that game? It just makes perfect sense.
Drew used to get up at like 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning because that's when the game was on TV.
I think it was in Norway when I was in Oslo.
I don't know. I couldn't believe.
That's absolutely absurd.
He was nutty.
Oh, really, Homer. Really, Homer, right?
You make a little bit more sense to me now, Andrew, now that I know that
yes,
you are a huge
another part of Andrew that just baffles us all. Drew, are you still a curling fan?
Of course I am, but, you know, unfortunately, this is the Summer Olympics.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just, they change it so much every 4 years that it's hard to keep up sometimes.
What changed? What, the games?
Yeah, they add games, they take away games.
Well, I think that's okay, because some things become old-fashioned, and some people...
It's kind of like tennis or something.
There's no tennis?
I don't know. Or soccer's added next.
Well,
Olympics,
they took out.
Rugby's going to be added.
They took out.
They took something away.
Women's
I don't know.
Softball.
They keep going to add things.
Yeah.
I
well, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Because
I
you know
the Olympics.
You want standard old Olympics. You want them to run in there barefoot with the real live torch burning.
Oh no! Stop it. That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So, how long are the Olympic Games?
How what?
How long are the Olympic Games?
Well, the games last about 2 weeks.
Okay.
So tomorrow is opening ceremony.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's a lot going on in these Olympics because it's not just the Olympics. It's the financial crisis that's going on all over Europe, all over the world, in London, in Great Britain. And how is it affecting the Olympics and the athletes and all the other components of the money aspect? So
does it affect it at all?
Oh, sure it does.
Sporting events like this for rich people, like the Super Bowl, Olympics, like these events.
Well, you're thinking.
For rich people, are they not?
No, you're just thinking right now of the people who go and watch them. But I'm talking beyond that. By the way, from my experience, I've only been to the one Olympics in 1996. Ticket prices are not the main thrust of where they get the money to put the games on. The ticket prices were quite reasonable. Of course, the more desirable the event is, the higher the ticket price. And of course, the smaller the venue, the higher the ticket price. And when we would go to track and field events, ticket prices were pretty reasonable because it was a large stadium and there was plenty of track and field events. You know, they would go on and on. They'd have a million different things going on. However, you know, in the basketball, well, we were there. It was the Dream Team, if you recall. Michael Jordan and all the boys played.
Were they still on it? 92 was the original Dream Team.
Well, we were there in 96.
So I know. I don't think it was the same Dream Team.
I think, well, whoever it was is still considered a Dream Team. They were still, you know, the major stars.
They always considered the Dream Team. This year is the Dream Team still.
Yeah, but the stars that were there were still pretty heavy hitters. Anyway, we couldn't even get tickets for that because it was major sold out. But, you know, the tickets, you know, say at the fencing or at tennis weren't that expensive because they're not really hot sports. And gymnastics, we couldn't get tickets for that because that was a very hot sport. So that's not where the money comes from, and that's not where they really fund the Olympics. Let me give you some information. Do you have any idea how much the Olympics cost this year to put on in England, in London?
$15 billion.
15 million? Billion?
Billion.
Yeah. Well, close, because it's 11 billion euros, which is close to $15 billion. You're right.
And I'm a genius.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you read that before we got on the show. But you
are. Just read that number up.
You're on Google right now, man.
So now then the other thing is, how does it get to be 15 billion euros? I mean, 11 billion euros or $15 million. So there's two components.
Million or billion?
Billion.
Billion, right?
Billion, yeah. So the two components are the organization, the agencies that build the venues, and then the other agency is who puts the shows on, you know? So the first aspect is building the venues, and they cost 6.2 billion euros to build the venues. Then they had to do, let me see what it says. Hold on, I'm sorry. They spent a little more than that. They've spent another $2 billion on, I'm sorry, I got this mixed up. Okay, so the first six billion comes from public money, and the next $2 billion comes from other bodies like local authorities and
local authorities just throw up $2 billion? Where do they get that kind of money?
Well, London, the city of London, and then there's sponsorships, too. So the bulk of the money comes from the national government, okay?
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, they spend it on these venues. And then they have to put the show on, and the show costs another over $2 billion euros to put the show on. So all in all, they're up to 11 billion euros at this point. Maybe all the numbers aren't tallied and finished. And so it costs a lot of money for the host country and the host city. Now the IOC, that's the
International Olympic Committee.
Okay. They put in a little, and I'm talking little, 0.7 billion euros out of 11 billion. They put in less than a billion. I think that's pretty low, considering they're the main event here. I mean, they're the main agency, right?
I guess.
And the sponsorship.
But they're a nonprofit organization. How much money could they possibly have?
Well, they make a bit of money from all the sales.
This is probably all they do. You know,
that's all they do. They charge fees and all the ticket sales and all the Olympic paraphernalia they sell and blah 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 blah. Right. And then sponsors. Sponsors are put in. I thought sponsorship would be much larger, but it's less than $1 billion also. It's a billion euros. It's 0.7 billion euros. So the money comes largely from the local government, but more importantly, the national government.
So how do they get that money?
Well, there's the central government, which is the federal government.
Yeah, so they then tax everyone in the country?
Then there's the lottery.
Taxpayers' money, right?
National lottery. I guess they take proceeds from the lottery, and they, you know, we use ours for education. They did theirs for lottery. For the Olympics, and then London puts in, and then there's a sporting agency called Sport England. I don't know. Maybe it's like the NCAA or something.
Yeah, but where do these federal agencies get their money? They
from their budgets.
Somebody.
From their budgets.
They just come up with money.
Well, this has been on their budget since 2002. They got awarded.
Of course, but it comes from tax revenue, and they hope to recoup that money in 2 weeks.
Correct. Well, that's the other part. Let me explain something. There's a lot of things that you didn't think about when they spend all this money, how they're going to make their money back. But let me just tell you one more thing before we go into that. So NBC got the broadcasting rights for the U.S. television market and digital cable network and that kind of stuff. So they paid $1.18 billion to have the broadcasting rights. They sold advertising for $1 billion.
Okay.
That means they're scheduled to lose money. So I'm reading this, and this is very interesting. So they're actually in it, and they lose money. I was surprised. I thought they would make money on that. Nope, they haven't made. They don't make money on that. They collected 150 million more advertising dollars in this Olympics than they did in Beijing for 2008. They reported a loss. NBC reported a loss of $223 million from the Winter Olympics from Vancouver in 2010. So this is the standard now. They don't really make money.
It's about prestige, though, isn't it? It's not about the actual money-making on the Olympics.
Well,
they hope to get residual people to watch the channel after that, I think.
I guess so. I was surprised. I didn't think they went in it to lose money. And guess how many hours of Olympic coverage we're going to see? They're going to broadcast. Take a guess.
Everything. I don't know.
Take a number. It's
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks times 24 hours is 14 times 24, I don't know.
5,535 total hours.
How many?
5,535 total hours.
How is that possible?
Well, there's different broadcasters' channels. There's cables. There's cable channels. There's internet. There's all different sources of being able to broadcast and watch this Olympics.
5,000 hours?
5,000
They're going to make probably interviews and...
Yeah.
Like post-produced pieces
ten different outlets, all different mediums. So that's that. So back to what we
should. That's like 16 hours a day.
16 hours a day?
Yeah.
16 hours a day. It's 24 hours in a day. That's not so bad.
That's 16 channels. That's 16 channels. I'm sorry.
Oh. 16 channels?
They have to broadcast on like 16 different channels.
Well, they probably have. They probably
24 hours a day over 2 weeks.
All right. Well, they're doing it. That's what they're doing it. Okay, so the IOC is going to generate about $3 billion in revenue for the Olympics, like I said. And they're going to spend $10 billion on travel, accommodations, and other paraphernalia, such as, the things that they put their logos on, like umbrellas and cups and things like that. So they lose money during this Olympics, too. So they're not in it for the money either. And the Olympic Games is much bigger in terms of finances. It dwarfs the Soccer World Cup. Okay, so this isn't even close. The Soccer World Cup is pretty big stuff. The Olympics is
Well, the World Cup only encompasses 32 countries.
But it's still, the Olympics, I don't know how many countries, 100 countries? I don't know how many.
Anyone can be represented, I think.
Yeah, it's open to
if
any country.
If you want to send an athlete, I think they'll allow you in if you they're qualified.
Right, as long as they qualify. Correct. Yeah. So it's open to every country in the world, and probably, I would bet there's close to 100 different countries being represented.
Certainly.
Yeah.
You're probably going to
But, I was surprised that, the Olympics is that much bigger. The World Cup seems pretty big to me, but the Olympics is even bigger. And the World Cup doesn't run for two straight weeks, on 16 channels like you just calculated.
Well, the World Cup is 32 teams playing over like a month, so there's not nearly as much time for
that much coverage.
Yeah, that's just too much coverage.
That's right.
Who's making money off the Olympics? Sounds like everybody's losing money.
Yeah. So where do they make their money? It's not a whole lot of money to be made. We know that the athletes don't make any money, right? What do they do? The stadiums and the venues that they build, there's the thought of what we're going to do with these buildings after the Olympics are over. And that's part of the process. What can we change or convert this Olympic stadium into? And, like when we were in Atlanta, they had Olympic Stadium. I believe that's where the Braves now play their baseball. Mm-hmm. Ted Turner Field.
I know the baseball stadium was Fulton County Stadium.
Well, we were there, and that was torn down. We were the last year to see anything there. That was torn down because Ted Turner Field took over, which was used for the Olympics. Ted Turner Field was the new stadium. Now, when we went to Montreal and we saw the Expos, we were in Olympic Stadium from the Olympics that took place in Montreal in the 80s.
What, 84?
Whatever, the 84 Olympics, yes.
Or 88 or 80?
I think it was 84 in Montreal, but don't quote me.
I thought L.A. was 84.
Maybe 76, I don't know. But we were in that stadium. It's kind of doom and gloom. I don't know. So the Expos left there. I don't know what they do with that stadium. So anyway, so that's, and you know, the things like the parks that we had, like the World's Fair, the Corona Park, they had it converted to is now a park. It used to be the World's Fair Park. So those are the things that they build these venues, and they have to be able to have some use after the games are over, or else they're really going to lose their shirt. So let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk some more about how this is going to affect the European financial markets. Okay, we'll be right back.
The following program was sponsored by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Summertime is not the only time when barbecue is welcome. At S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, Sam Edwards has been working his magic on ribs, briskets, pit-cooked pulled pork, and much, much more. Add a few of their sides and the party is complete. Entertaining has never been so easy. To order, go to virginiatraditions.com.
All right, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. We're talking about the 2012 Olympics. They start. They open tomorrow night. And where does all the money come from? Where does all the money go? Before we move on, I wanted to talk about, just go back to the legacy spending. That's what to do with the stadiums after they're all after the games are over. And in this case, in London, they put aside £300 million to transform the park. The single biggest expenditure is the Olympic Park, £1.8 billion. Pounds to build the park, the local infrastructure, the roads, clearing up the site and the power lines. And then €1.16 billion is used for the venues, of which the Olympic Stadium is £428 million. Joe wanted to know how much it cost to build that stadium.
So, can I ask a question? So you're saying before NBC only raised $1 billion in advertising. Don't they then farm out the fee that they're getting to other news networks and stuff like that and sell off their rights?
I don't know. Do they just keep them on the NBC affiliates?
I assume they're making money off other things other than just advertising revenue. Because, you know, there's 204 countries competing in the Olympics this year.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of markets for them to then redistribute the rights of their or their news feed to someone else.
Well, I just talked. That's the U.S. Broadcasting
exactly.
rights.
Exactly. So
that's
I'm
not
sure
all the other
making their money back.
Well, I guess, but it's
I'm
not
sure,
a
like,
money
a
maker.
Soft story thing. Oh, we're not even making our money back. That's how much we love the Olympics and want to bring it to you. But that's a bunch of crap. I think
it's not
because no one does things like that without making money.
Well, yeah, they sell more rights, but. Well, we don't know. I mean, I only have the U.S. Broadcasting.
Yeah, but it's only advertising revenue. It's not actually like licensing rights and things like that that they're selling to other countries.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, but there's still not
I'm
a big
sure
money
making
maker.
Enough money on this thing.
So what happens to what happens to the money? So anyway, in London, you know, they're on the austerity program right now. You know, the financial crisis is hit hard there, and you know, there's a lot of rumbling from the citizens. Like, you know, how much are we going to spend on this? You know, we're not making money. We're dying here. And so the prime minister, his name is David Cameron. He's out there really trying to make the games work and put London and England, you know, back on track. It's been a long time. They've had a lot of financial problems, just as the rest of Europe, certainly not as severe as some other countries. They hope that they'll seal, now this is London only, seal £1 billion of deals this summer as businesses capitalize on the Olympics. This is the first time Britain has hosted the Olympics since 1948. So there's other things going on. British officials say the games will cost £9.3 billion. That's $14.5 billion to host this. So we talked about that. So London and England are, you know, they have a lot on the line here. They've put out a lot of money. You know, when they first proposed, when they first proposed to do the Olympics in, I think, in 2002, when they were awarded, their goal, their budget was for £2.5 billion, and now it's up to £11.5 billion. So that's the way it goes in that industry. You know, construction never comes close.
Do they predict how much money they're going to make after the 2 or 3 week period, or however long the Olympics are?
Well, I don't think they have those numbers released yet. I haven't seen any of those numbers.
Because you know that they talk about the Super Bowl and how much it costs to put on, how it's like $1 billion in revenue from one day.
Right.
Like, to think like over 14 or 17 days or whatever, however long the Olympics are, you got to think they're going to make back at least about, you know, that same amount of money.
I don't know. But who's going to make the money? I mean, the hotel's going to make some money. The restaurants are going to make some money. And, you know, other, not just the London, the city of London.
What's the tax rate in London?
Well, they have a VAT rate. You know, they have that value-added tax. I'm not sure. But, you know, they're going to get some money from it. I still don't think it's a moneymaker. I still think for the city of London and for the country of Britain, I don't think they're in the profit part when you do that.
How about you think about it this way? You're picking up this expense that you spread out over 10 years because you say you start in 02 and you're awarded, you start the construction.
That's right.
So over 10 years, you spend $1 billion a year, right?
Yes.
And then now they're in the worst recession.
Yes.
They have an infusion of, say, $10 billion back in after they're spending $1 billion a year. That's going to then, you know, spark industry within the city then spread out to the country.
Well, you would think so. I thought about that. You know, they built these buildings over the past 10 years and their country's still in a deep recession. So this certainly didn't promote, you know, enough jobs to offset the unemployment and the recession.
I'm saying not over the 10 years, but now that they're going to have this large influx of people and cash.
Yes, for 2 weeks.
But are that many people going to come still, even like with the recession?
There will still be customers there. There's no doubt about it.
But maybe not as much as if it had been, you know, occurring, you know, before the recession.
Yes, with a better economy, people would probably be spending more money. But the rich people are going to show up. You know, they're going to show up.
People from other countries are still going to show up. And it's going to be a huge infusion of cash. And it'll have a trickle-down effect because these are the people on the lowest levels who are actually going to finally start reaping the benefits, not just a few workers building a few stadiums. It's going to be across the board, like restaurants, hotels, porters, cab drivers, everyone. There's going to be a huge influx of people, and the whole tourist industry is going to boom.
Right.
And that's going to spread money around the whole city. And then hopefully that then trickles down to the rest of the country.
But it's only 14 days. 10 years in the making, 14 days. I don't know. I don't believe
the
financial...
Yeah, London already has a pretty huge tourist industry as well, you know?
Yeah, well, this is just going to add an extra million people, you know, a day or something. You know, big numbers, no doubt. Well, we're going to find out. I guess after the Olympics are over and they do the financial tally, we'll figure out whether they made money. But my money is on, they're going to lose money on this.
I think it's really hard to predict how much money they're going to make after like 2 weeks worth of things. Like the trickle down effect of people like coming back and checking out the sites and seeing what happened after the fact, like tourist attractions and things like that. You know, you never know what's going to happen. People couldn't afford to come during the Olympics, we'll then go after the fact and check out where it was. And,
Maybe. All right. So how does this affect the financial crisis affect the athletes? Well, you know, the big problem is in Greece. Greece is just falling off the edge over here. Now, Greece is a pretty socialist kind of economy, and they fund some of the expenses for the athletes. They tell them they don't have to work while they're training, and they support them, and they send them to London or wherever they have to go. That's the norm. Well, with the financial crisis, Greece doesn't have the money for that. So the athletes now have to keep their day jobs, and it cuts into their training. Some Greek athletes have retired because they just can't survive. They have to go to work. There's just not enough money to even, you know, pay for their ordinary life, so no less pay for the training that they need. So it has really, really affected the Greek athletes. There's going to be less than 100 athletes at this at the London Olympics this year, where, you know, they had over 100 at the last Olympics, and they had hundreds at their own Olympics in 2004 in Athens.
Well, the home country always has a lot more athletes than
yeah,
the
but
countries.
It's diminished, and the reason
why... You compete
why,
in every event. When you're the home country, you have a buy-in, allow an athlete into every event that you want to compete in.
However,
of course they're going to have athletes in more events then. Come on now.
But they have been affected, and the athletes are affected in Greece in a big way. They've been affected in Italy.
That send two people a year, because that's all they can afford to send.
In Italy, the athletes, the money's not there. They cut the budgets, the sports budgets for those programs. And in Estonia, so all around Europe, the money has been cut. It has affected. Their training has been affected. Lots of trainers and vendors are not being paid.
Would they have won?
What's that?
Would they have won their event?
How do I know?
So who cares? It's another person who probably won't win the event is going to compete instead from another country.
Well, it's just not fair that they're training and they're at that level and they can't get there because their government has no money to send them. So that's
just this is an amateur event.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
Amateur. Amateur means we are not compensated for your training and everything like that.
Well, in Greece, the government does help their athletes send them off to the Olympics.
But there's probably plenty of countries where you compete on your own to get to a certain level, and then you try out for your Olympic team, right?
Yes.
So then you're doing everything out of your own pocket. Why all of a sudden, the last 2 months, you run out of money?
No, it's not 2 months.
Choice.
Greece has had this problem.
I think you're scared of competing and losing in a worldwide
no,
event.
No, I don't think so. Greece has been having
true.
Financial...
I think they're going to only bring more disrespect to the country. That's why they're quitting.
No, I don't agree with you. 1%. Not even 1 nanosecond.
Are you out of your mind because you can't... 2 months. 2 months, you can't work without 2 months.
Wait, it's not just 2 months.
One time in your life. You've been training for your whole life. At least 20 years. You've been training and practicing, and now 2 months before the Olympics, you can't come up with enough money to survive and keep training? Come on now.
But
you're going to go on your dream.
True.
On your dream.
I don't know where you got the two
Bullshit.
Months from. I don't know where you got it from. There's not
Bullshit.
2 months. The government pulled the money out of these programs over
Bullshit.
The past 2 years.
Who cares about the money? It's not about the money at that point.
Okay,
we're
not talking
about major athletic competition. The basketball players aren't worried about pulling out. The people who are pulling out are track and field people, swimmers, people who don't get compensated outside of this kind of athletic thing for their athletic ability.
Well,
so these are people who are practicing on their own and trying to get to the highest level. And to say you're going to pull out now because there's no money from your country, I don't believe a word you're saying.
They can't get to... Okay. Well, they haven't been able to train at the level they're supposed to be training, not for 2 months, Drew, for the past year or two. Not 2 months. And they are not at the level that they need to be.
There aren't Olympic teams for 2 years.
What?
There aren't Olympic teams for 2 years.
But they train.
They're not supported by the Olympic Committee for 2 years.
They train. They train for years. They don't just train for 2 months. All right, let me move on.
How come the Olympic trials were like 2 months ago?
By the way, the Olympic Committee, the IOC, has sent some money to some countries to get their teams to the Olympics because they're so financially strapped. So the IOC does have a hardship situation, and some teams have tapped into that so they can get to London this week. Let me just finish my last point before we move on. Before I close. Spain is still bidding for the 2020 Olympics. They say, even though they're in desperate financial shape, they feel by 2020 they will be okay. They have most of their venues in place, and they only have to build a couple more venues. Well, that's a terrible noise, Joe. And they said, we're not going to pull out. Italy has pulled out. Rome was originally going to be in there for the 2020 bid. Now, so Spain's staying in there, and their competition, I think, is Istanbul and Tokyo. So now it's the three cities, and the IOC is going to make the decision next year. But the IOC said, with the condition of the Spain economy, they're going to be. Really, they're going to have to prove themselves pretty strongly in order for the IOC to make that decision. Although it's 8 years away.
They were just in Spain, 8 years ago.
Barcelona. They were in Barcelona in 1992. But they were in Tokyo.
Why do you go back? We were in Japan.
They were in Tokyo, too, right?
2000.
Right. So maybe they'll go to Istanbul this time.
They just go to Istanbul.
But Rome was originally in the mix, but Rome pulled out.
I don't know how you're going to put it in Rome. Rome is way too overcrowded.
Well, I don't know, Drew. I think that the people in Rome, the Olympic Committee, probably figured out how to squeeze another few million people in there for 2 weeks.
Just to squeeze them in there for a few more weeks. Oh, I get it.
Yeah. So Spain said, we're going for the gusto, and they have a very strong position saying we have most of our buildings in place already, and we're going to, and what did I say? It's going to be what town in Madrid, and the last Olympics was in Barcelona. So it's two different cities in Spain. You know, it's a big country, so they can afford to spread it out a little bit. All right, so let's report back next week and tell me what you think about the Olympics. Who's your prediction for the big winner for the U.S.? I mean, Michael Phelps came out the winner last time. Who's the big winner this year? Anybody have any idea? I guess
they'll
have to emerge over the next week or two, and we'll talk about that.
I don't know who's competing.
Well, it's swimming, it's gymnastics, it's...
I mean, who? How am I going to pick a winner if I don't know who's competing?
Well, start watching tomorrow night, and we'll see who comes out next time we talk. All right, we'll say goodbye. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today.
Thanks for listening.